Hi, my name is John Kim. I'm a therapist who went through his own rebirth many years ago, and I've been documenting my journey ever since, sharing my life lessons and revelations. I believe in casual over clinical, with you instead of at you. I come unrehearsed on purpose because self-help doesn't have to be so complicated. Okay, I'm literally going straight from my car running into the house and then directly into a couple session, which I love. I just love that people are falling from the sky. Here's what we're going to do. But first, I just want to say, tell us how you met, because it has to do with my book being playing Cupid, or my workbook playing Cupid, for you guys know.
I'll let Tanner. It's his favorite tagline.
Oh my gosh. It is. It is my favorite. I mean, the short story is we did 31 days of single on purpose. And then on day 32, we got together. So we had met, I mean, it was literally just a handshake, through mutual friends. And I reached out to Bree, and she, I was like, hey, let's get some coffee. She's like, no, I'm going to Italy for 7 weeks.
I was going on a singlehood, like, soul searching thing. So when the 31 days single on purpose came out, I was like, this is exactly what I need right now. I just want to be alone. And so then that cultivated in Pittsburgh, and then he joined, and it kind of just went deeper from there, honestly.
It's amazing how the universe cock blocks us, especially when we're single. And you're dating someone. It's like, this is not what I was going to go to Italy. I was going to do my eat, pray, love thing. And then, you know, here I am now dating someone.
Oh, it's funny. She was going to, like, she had
a leasehold.
She had a leasehold for a place in Bali.
For like 12 months. I was leaving in January this month. And I don't know. It was different. We both, you know, everyone has history. We had a history. And when we started talking, it was just like, wow.
Yeah.
You guys look amazing together, I got to say. And it's not the matching glasses. You guys just look really good together. Well, tell me what's happening now. We could get right into kind of what's difficult, or wherever you guys want to start, whoever wants to start first.
Sure. I think I'll go first. And I think for me, I struggle with effectively communicating my feelings in a way that that are accurate and timely and with appropriate tonality. That's not to say, like, I don't think we've ever yelled at each other. But, like, this is so stupid. I was on the shitter, right? And I'm a man. I take 25 minute shits, get everything out in the first 3 minutes, and then I scroll for 22 minutes. Yeah. Right?
That's our safe tree. It's our quiet place, right? It's our confessional.
Yeah, but I was writing an email, and it was I had to get aggressive in the email, so like my emotions from the email were like heightened. And she was like, "Hey, I got to use a bathroom." I was like, "Okay, just let me finish this email." And then she's like, "Okay, I'm gonna pee my pants." Right. And then I was like, "Can't you just go downstairs? We have another bathroom."
Clarify: in Pittsburgh, there's not a toilet. It's just a toilet in the middle of the basement.
Yeah.
They're called Pittsburgh potties, so it's like not your first choice.
So then, you know, that made her feel a certain way. And then in me, I was like, what, this shouldn't be an issue. I just told her to go downstairs, but it was like my tonality and how I snapped at her. And then it kind of snowballed after that. Sorry about the pups.
That's right. No worries.
And I talk about like effectively communicating in a timely manner. Because I felt a certain way, and I was like, you know, I was just like, oh my God, here we go. This isn't something that we have to like have even a discussion over. And then she asked me, she's like, well, are you going to apologize? And she was accurate. She was right. And I should have apologized like right then. But I brought up stuff like, well, you know, lately I've been met with some resistance from, you know, X, Y, and Z. And then I brought up that like, hey, you know, when you answer the phone, it's not always rainbows and butterflies. Like,
right. Sometimes
I feel like I'm in trouble or that there's something wrong or something like that. You know, it was just, again, it's like there's a time and place to talk about things. And I don't think stacking issues is the right choice.
Well, we were driving to dinner. I think that was, we had like seven minutes in the car to meet dinner with friends. And I wear my emotions on my face. I'm like, oh my God, we're going to have to sit at dinner and like not be able to talk about it. So,
yeah. And then again, like expressing accurately how I feel when I get
into, you guys froze. I don't know if it's on my side,
disagreement situations.
I am at my mountain house.
There's
so
a tornado in my head.
Hopefully it's not my side.
And
shit.
And sometimes I can't recall.
Everyone, I'm doing a couple session and
instances that I'm trying to bring up.
You can hear them,
or
but you can't
think
see
of
them.
Words to accurately convey
Lucky
how
froze,
I'm feeling.
So,
and I wish.
Let's see what
I
happens. If you're watching this, I'm sure they'll be back. If you're watching this, it'll be more of an audio experience since you're hearing the session, not seeing the session. You're just seeing my ugly face, but you could hear the couple, but they froze. What do I do? Do I wait? I feel bad when this happens.
I think... Maybe.
Oh, it's my fucking Wi-Fi. It's me.
Oh, no.
Okay. Appreciate your patience. I'm coming back on. Should I?
I think maybe he ended it because I don't remember seeing that before. Maybe fall in the background.
Oh, wow.
He's back, honey.
Sorry about that. I couldn't tell whose side it was on. I'm assuming it was mine.
Yeah, we were on, but then you kind of froze up, so we weren't sure either. But we can see you and hear you.
Is Tanner done? Did Tanner bounce?
Yeah, he said he was over it.
Can't give us the
Tanner on the toilet again?
Yeah, he's good. Nature, dude. Nature calls.
You have no idea how accurate you are. Side note, have you heard about hydrogen water?
No.
Yeah, you're a health nut. Get yourself a hydrogen water bottle.
What is that? I gotta look into that. Is that like
hydrogen water? And Gary Brecka is a big promoter of this. But getting off topic.
Okay, so here I have a question for you guys. So, what is activated in you, or what was activated in you? Let me ask you guys this. What's the theme as far as because it's not about what we talk about on the surface. It's usually something that is activated in us that makes us feel a certain way, and then we are defensive or we're reactive. So wait, how long have you guys been together?
Since June when we did the book club.
it's still new, right? So you guys are still learning the 360 of each other. I would say it's still honeymoon. But you know, you guys are going to start to know each other on a deeper level as you experience what activates each other. Right. So thematically, and you know, the toilet, on the shitter exchange of someone wanting to use the restroom, you're in there. That's a great example because it's just such real life, you know, it's not this big thing. No one did anything wrong. And it's usually in the kind of the, these kind of subtle everyday life things that, you know, explosions can happen. So what do you think? What's thematically being activated? Tanner, you go first in you in this relationship, and then Brianna, you tell me.
Thematically being activated when we like have disagreements? Is that
yeah, whenever there's conflict, whenever you're like, oh shit, I'm being like emotional or whatever, or angry, what is being activated in you? What's happening underneath? Not what's said on top, usually.
Yeah. probably a lot of stuff, probably that inner child.
Yeah. Know? No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. I'm the second of four, kids. So upper middle. It's always like craving attention.
Okay.
So I definitely like, I have some troubles, some issues with that. Like, I guess not getting attention, not being heard. And I'm not even saying that Bree does this. I think it's just like an overarching issue that's been here since childhood.
How does that come up? So, you not being heard, or how does that come up in the relationship? How does she activate those childhood wounds?
Ooh, you're back again.
There we go.
See you. Oh, did I freeze again? Sorry. How does that act? Like, what does she do to activate those childhood wounds?
I don't feel it's perfect to be like really genuinely honest with you. I think it's me not sharing my perspective, especially in the moment. Yeah. And for me, I'm such a dude and I can't multitask. So, like, if she's chirping at me and I'm in the middle of doing something that's important to me, like, then I go out of balance. And then I revert back to that little child going, Hey, look at me, you know?
And how does that manifest in action? So, like, for example, using the toilet example, was there something that activated you, that she did or said or didn't do or say that made you, kind of get defensive, or I don't know.
Yeah. Again, I think it's really unfair, but,
well, let's not judge it. I'm just trying to explore what it is.
Yeah, you know? No. She said she had to use the bathroom like 3 or 4 times. And I was so deep in an aggressive email that it, like, the aggression transferred to her.
What, when you say unfair, who was unfair? You or her?
I think I was unfair for snapping at her.
What was the snap like? What did you say that was a snap?
Word for word, verbatim, I said, "Fuck, we have another bathroom downstairs." And then she responded with, "Are you serious?" And then went downstairs to use the restroom.
Okay. Sorry, I missed you. Man, sorry about the connection. There's a lot of wrenches in this process today. I apologize. And so, Brianna, what about you? With things being thematically activating you in this relationship, what would that be?
I think across the board, if there's a disagreement, I'm coming from a place of fear, or like a scared place. I don't want to say like fight or flight, but I immediately go into like, I need to protect myself right now because something bad might happen and I could get hurt physically or mentally. So I know for me, it's very fear-based.
And so what does that look like in action, in words? Is you stacking issues 7 minutes before dinner, is that coming from a fearful place?
Well, that was Tanner was saying.
Oh, you were stacking. Okay, sorry. Okay.
She got mad at me for being on the well, not even mad. She just said something about me being on the shitter, and then I snapped at her, and then she wanted me to apologize, and then I gave her a half-assed apology and said, "By the way, here's how I've been feeling lately."
Okay. So can I just say real quick? I love that you guys are actually not only aware of what's happening, but taking ownership. So Tanner, I don't sense any defense from you. I sense you're like, I was on a shitter. She did this, activated this, and I acted in a way that I shouldn't have. Like, it's total ownership. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's certainly like that after the fact.
But
I wish I could be better in the moment.
I'm going to end this because it's just the reception's bad.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Sorry. Go ahead. Yep.
That's okay. I was just saying, I think I am good at taking ownership. But it's after the fact, and I wish I could be better in the moment.
Okay. Hey, Brianna, what do you think about that? Is that him realizing things after the fact? And I'm assuming when he's reactive, he's not like throwing chairs and going crazy. I mean, he might be a little angry. He might say some things, and then he catches himself later. Is that okay with you? Does that feel safe? Or do you want him, like, what do you want to change, you know, as far as his responses?
I've always thought he is really great at taking ownership. Honestly, I kind of aspire for that because I think when I get into my like fear-based mentality, I won't do that because I have to protect myself and that's all that matters in my head. But when I've always trusted him, even when we have a disagreement, that eventually it will be okay. Mm. And it doesn't like scare or worry me in a deep way most of the time. We went to bed last night, we cooled off, we talked more this morning, and then it was okay. So I always know that resolution will come. I think I will say, because in my head the toilet was so small and simple when we talked in the car and he didn't want to apologize. That was probably the first time I was like, oh, what? Because there was like a 15-minute period before we got in the car maybe, and we just kind of like stayed in our own lanes, like cooled off, I guess. And when we got in the car and we didn't see eye to eye on just like a little apology, I was like, oh, what? So
wait, Brianna, what did the apologize mean to you? Meaning, you know, when you said, okay, are you going to apologize? If he didn't, what does that mean to you as opposed to if he does?
Yeah, so I think if he didn't, it was like a fear of like, okay, is this okay the way he talked to me? Right. And if it's okay now, will it get worse down the road? And having experienced situations like that, because it takes two to get to a point in a bad relationship. And I think that starts with letting red flags feel yellow and then just like accepting them. And so for he and I, like, I care about him so much. I think little things like that mean so much more because it all starts from somewhere the longer and you grow together as you live life. So to me, apologizing was just like easy and simple for something easy and simple. So there was less piles of shit, for lack of better words.
And of course, because of what this is, I'm a lot more direct. Also, I'm one person, you know, wearing two hats, therapist, coach. I'm just going to be super direct because we don't have much time. The connection's fucking horrible.
I'm up in the mountains. And
I want to try to help you guys as much as I can. Oh, I lost it again. Okay.
No, you're back. You're back.
Yeah. So, you know, because I feel like E.T. trying to phone home, right? With fucking aluminum foil in my head. I want to be very direct because I want to really be of service in any way that I can. And also, you guys get a whole different session. I'll be at home. The connection will be amazing. So because I do two sessions per couple. So this is cool. The only one. Brianna, I want you to look at why you need the apology from Tanner. Because when you tell someone or demand someone to apologize, it's almost not an apology because you're wanting something. Do you know what I'm saying? And if you're saying the apology is self-soothing in a way, because then it makes you not jump to the future tripping. Like it seems like you need the apology almost to self-soothe your own fears about the relationship, not so much that you want him to apologize. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes sense, because I felt like if there wasn't an apology, I was just going to stay shut down a little bit. Like, and we were going to dinner to meet friends. So,
but like if he apologizes on his own, wouldn't that mean more than you asking him to apologize? And then he does it because you asked?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So here's what I think the work is. And this is with any couple, Tanner, and this is just about what we're talking about, Tanner being responsible for him realizing what is activating his, you know, childhood wounds, right? and then self-soothing, taking a beat, and instead of being reactive, like, how can I give myself that instead of wanting that from Brianna, right? And then Brianna, the fears that you have, is this going to work? Where is this going? Whatever, all the fears that you have based on your story and your previous experiences, yes, he's doing his best to make you less afraid, but ultimately, it's kind of your responsibility to overcome those fears. Does that make sense? Did I freeze?
Yeah, yes. Yes, he's doing his best to make you not afraid or less afraid.
But it's, Brianna, it's your responsibility ultimately to overcome those fears.
Yeah. I definitely struggle with that. Like specifically, there's, for my history, there is an alcohol abuse element with a past partner. And I don't have the greatest relationship with alcohol, not personally, but around it. Like when others are drinking, I start to get nervous and think about fearful things. And when, like, if he has like a drink or two, like we were on vacation and I just went into this space of like, oh my God, I could die right now. This could get really bad. And I tried talking.
Wait, hold on. That's a great example of, you know, assuming I'm assuming Tana doesn't have a drinking problem, correct?
We hardly drink at all. Yeah. So
he has a couple beers, and which is just normal, no problem. But your body is seeing that as a bomb or a red flag. It's being active. Your nervous system is being activated. Something is wrong, and then you start to distorted thought. Oh my God, the sky is falling. So he can do his best to help you by you explaining to him what's going on, but it is your responsibility. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And ultimately, the relationship will be safe enough where it's going to be a corrective experience and hold that space for both of you guys as you guys continue to build this. Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I agree.
I love that you're aware of this, and because a lot of people, they don't even share this stuff with their partner. And then they just get mad. So like for example, Tanner has a couple beers and someone says, "The fuck you doing?" And then suddenly he's like, "What? I'm just having some," and suddenly it's a huge fight and it's all surface based instead of, "Oh, you're having a couple beers. Here's what's happening for me, Tanner. I was with or an alcoholic or my family was like, there's alcoholism in the past. It's my responsibility. Here's what I need." And then he can do the best to support you in that. But that communication is vital. It creates bridges.
Yeah.
I do know and trust and believe that she is coming from a place of love.
Yeah.
And trust when she does bring these things up, or she wouldn't. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. If I didn't care to tell you, I just wouldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would just say, okay, bye. You're drinking. See you later.
Yeah. It's like, I, in a sense, I do feel honored that, like, she tells me, "Hey, I'm not feeling comfortable with you drinking right now." And then depending on how many I've had, I either go, "Well, this isn't a big deal. Why are you like this?" Or, "I understand, honey. I love you. I'll stop."
Let me ask you this, Brianna, when you, for example, using this beer situation or the drinking situation, how are you disclosing this information? Are you saying, "Stop the beer. I don't like this because it's doing this in me." Or are you saying, "It's not you, but here's what's happening." Like, how are you like telling Tanner this information about how you're being activated?
I think initially I'm more passive than I should be. When we were on vacation, I was like, "Oh, you're drunk." Like, or I could just be like, and like he had like two cocktails on the beach. Like we were having a good time. I could have said directly, "I'm just starting to feel really anxious." I get to that point.
Yes.
Like we continued this conversation and I started saying, like, "I'm just trying to tell you how I feel. Like I was starting to feel like life or death. Like I'm just anxious and I know I know I shouldn't be. I just, my mind goes like this and then I think of like certain instances in the past but it's getting there for me is difficult because I think when I start to feel that way, I go into how do I protect Bree right now? Sure. And that means pushing other things away. And in like I just not rationalizing as much until we get to a more open communication.
So when you're in that kind of fight or flight state, what do you need from Tanner to ground you?
Probably just like a hug.
You know what I was going to say? It's probably not words. You're absolutely right. Because Tanner, I want you to, and this is something I need to do as well. I want you to focus more on her body than the words. And I've learned this over many relationships where it's like, it's almost like say nothing, but just hold her. Mm-hmm. And it's like things change and dissolve very fast as opposed to logically. Well, what am I doing? I'm just having two beers. Like, what? It's all logic based, but bodies are still activated. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
it makes perfect sense, man. It's hard to do. I am very logic. I am very defensive. I go at my partner like a lawyer, and so drop all that and know that my partner's being activated. And then, hey, can I just hold you? Huh. And then just like holding and seriously, man, that dissolves. Because what's happening is it's not a logical experience. It's a somatic experience. Whether we're talking about childhood wounds or people being activated because of addiction or having, you know, addiction in their family, it's the body panicking because it feels threatened. It feels unsafe. And so when you try to convince someone, it's just slippery. But if you just hold someone or make them feel safe, you're just going right to the core, you know?
So then that's where, again, I can recognize where I need to work. In those instances where I feel like, whoa, why, what's happening? Why am I getting, you know, why is the arrow pointed at me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm not trying to run forward towards that arrow.
Sure.
Oh, so it's like for me, and even the other night when like all she needed was an apology. It was just like hard to muster.
Yeah, of course. Hey, listen. If someone says, John, you need to apologize, I'd be like, the fuck? My ego would kick in. I'm an Aries. I'm fiery. I'd be very defensive. And I would be like, well, don't tell me to apologize. I'll apologize when I feel like it. You know, like that would be the default, right? So yeah, that's, I get the struggle in that, right? If someone's saying, aren't you going to apologize? Well, if you can say that, then no, you know? So I think here's, I don't think she needs an apology. I think what she needs is to feel safe.
And we got to that point. I think it's almost like snowballs into other arguments sometimes too. Cause I just need a hug. Like I just need help calming down. Cause I feel like I'm going crazy and I know I'm going crazy and it's irrational. And it just doesn't feel good, but
then here I come with the fuel to put on your fire.
Well, I didn't start it in the best way. Oh, you're drinking? What?
Wait, real quick. But even something as subtle as tone. I mean, you're right. If you start something as like, you're drinking, you're drunk. That's already, you're already pointing a finger.
Exactly. And that's where once we get to a point where we're having honest conversation, I have to backtrack and be like, I've got to bring it up in a bit, like just directly say, I'm starting to feel X, Y, and Z. This, like, it's not your fault. Because when I mentioned just wanting to feel safe or just needing a hug, like for me, physical touch with alcohol was a hurtful thing. I feel like I'm relearning, like, it's okay. This is a different experience. It's just a few, you know, beers on the beach or whatever. But you do an amazing job at making me always feel safe. So when I do bring this up, I think you think, well, where, like you said once, well, where am I lacking? You don't feel safe and you don't feel safe now. And I think that's a disconnect too. Cause like, every day in our relationship, he makes me feel secure and safe. It's the alcohol that makes my anxiety go from a past experience. Even though he makes me feel safe, I still feel this way. That I think that confuses you.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, with the alcohol, tell me briefly, what was it? Dad? What was it? Ex-partners? What was the relationship with alcohol?
My ex-fiance a few years.
And when he drank, he got abusive physically or what happened?
Yeah, he would. He was into different drugs and alcohol all the time, and he would get physically abusive. And we had like, well, he did. I didn't. Had guns and knives in the house and stuff. So,
Can you repeat that? Because you froze. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. When he would drink or do whatever drugs he was doing, he would get very aggressive and physical, abusive. And
here's what your body's doing. It's trying to protect you. Oh, you're frozen.
Gil wants attention.
I know. Sorry, buddy.
Sorry. So here's what this session is like, skipping a stone across the lake. The connection. Your body is trying to protect you. So when it, you know, not, it's not only Tanner, it's wherever, you know, in the world, alcohol, whatever, and you sense threatened. You got to convince your body that with Tanner that your body's safe. So part of it is on him in that he will create a safe space, meaning he could have a couple drinks. Like, your body has to allow Tanner to have a couple drinks and realize, oh, he's not picking up a knife. Nothing's happening. He's actually lovely and he's holding me and it's loving. And there's, so like you have to, I think you have to give your body that experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So if you start pointing fingers at him, you're not going to give your body that experience. Instead, let him know what's happening in you. And then it's going to take courage, but try to be open to that experience and trust that he's going to provide a safe space for you.
Let him know what's happening in you. And then that's when you froze.
He might not be able to see us now.
I think we're going to have to do we'll have to do a next session, because this is the reception's so bad. Hello?
Hi.
All right, we're going to end. You know what? We're going to end, we will do this again. I'm just going to send them an email. And this is my life. Bad connection, remote, and you know, it is what it is. So, I apologize. I'll try to make this episode as painless as possible, but I still think we got a lot out of it, and we will do a part 2.